You rock. That's what people say today to mean you are great, you're hot, you're cool, or to go a long way back, you're the cat's pajamas. In today's reading, Aunt Lucy rocked. In this case, it wasn't because she was being cool. She was grieving. She was having ups and downs, going back and forth between now and in the past. Her memories ebbed and flowed, and her moods changed. When any of us sustain a loss, be it the death of a loved one, the loss of a job or a career, the physical or mental decline of a parent, a loss of purpose, an unabating pain, an empty nest, a friendship or a marriage gone awry, loss of youthful vigor, we begin to grieve. What is grieving? Is it sadness? Depression? Crying? Yes, it is all these things, plus worry about the future, memories in the form of pictures that pass through our mind's eye, fear, regret, and spiritual upheaval. But it is also happy memories, gratitude for what we've had, and awareness of our blessings, and a desire to return to the equilibrium that was our prior life before the loss. Although we will never have that previous life, the balance we can find in a new life can be informed by the grief we now feel. You are all probably familiar with the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's 5 stages of grief that she developed from her 5 stages of dying. We are supposed to go from denial to anger to bargaining to depression to acceptance. This may be true for people who have just been told they have a terminal illness, but it is not how real people grieve. Few mourners try to bargain. Many are never angry or in denial. Most people who are mourning are sad for a while. They are more emotional than usual. And mostly, they are distracted, a phase that Kubler-Ross missed. When we mourn, we are preoccupied much of the time with memories and worries. I know. I have had a lot of loss, and my best friend Judy died this past September on the first day of school, which I missed because I was by her side. So I have been embarking on another grieving journey during a time when being distracted was not helpful in the rest of my life. But we cannot always deal with grief as we would. Life must go on, and I have used the love of friends to sustain me and my own knowledge of myself to help me take the time to rock. It helps to know yourself. I like to write, and as you've no doubt noticed from the readings, I have had several episodes in my life of multiple losses all at once. During one such time, I decided that trying to make lemonade out of the lemons I was given was not going to help until I did some healing. So I developed my own ritual. I wore black all the time, and every day wrote in a journey about a loss in my life. I did this for 60 days. And that was enough. What I had done was twofold. The black clothing was a public way to say, I'm hurting, without going around crying on everyone's shoulder. The journal was a private way to acknowledge the pain happening now and that I may have dismissed in the past. Then it was time to move on. That doesn't mean I didn't still worry or cry at certain strains of music or lack confidence. But it meant I was moving into hope for the future. By directly addressing my grief, I was able to let it go. Of course, I did not do this all alone. Friends were like angels that came out of the woodwork. My loss of three of the four most important people in my life at the time was complicated by the loss of housing, employment, and having to deal with a financial mess. For the deaths were my housemate, my employer, and my mother. Friends listened with their hearts, but they also helped in practical ways. And since I enjoy hosting parties, they came to every one of them. We walked the beach and worked on church activities. We helped others heal through pastoral counseling center I worked for and through the welcoming congregation program at my church. Besides friends, I found a deep survival instinct in me that overpowered my usual tendency to be reticent to ask for help. And this is the other aspect of grieving that we must remember for those times when we still need it. We are more resilient than the experts would have us believe. Although death and loss may come unexpectedly, so too love and hope come in suddenly to remind us that the valley we are in is surrounded by hills and we can rise again. Healing from grief also means reconciling our beliefs with reality. During one loss, I found myself turning to Rabbi Harold Kushner's explanation of how to consider when bad things happen to good people. Kushner lost his young son to progeria, a sudden aging disease. I had just been told that I was past menopause at age 34. And I felt I had aged 15 years overnight. I hoped the connection would mean his words would help me to understand how to view the loss. My poem, Consolation, explains Kushner's view of the Bible's book of Job, which is one of the hardest parts of the Bible for most people to reconcile. Job was a good man, and suddenly God was sending sickness and financial loss and death. Either Job was really bad and God was justly punishing him, or Job's God was not a good God. That's what Job's friends said. Not too helpful. Many people around me during my loss were about as helpful as Job's friends. But Rabbi Kushner's idea that God does not control things, but is present in those around us who help us and love us, was just the help I needed to get out of the spiritual quagmire of wondering why this happened. And then my friend Emily said the right words, I'm sorry. and I love you. We can feel love and hope at this church. Here is a place where we get to be real, where all the things we usually do not talk about in society are fodder for the growth of the spirit and our spiritual relationships, where the emotions stirred by the music can be allowed, where hands reach out to touch us and hugs are welcome. One of the best ways to heal is to be grateful, to feel gratitude for what we have, for the people around us now and in the past, for our own ability to move on. There is a Japanese psychotherapy called Nikon. It uses gratitude to help people heal from depression, and I find it the best way to heal from grief. A simple form of it is called everyday Nikon. In this daily practice, one starts the day by remembering all the people in your life who have supported you. If you're my age and you go back to childhood until now, this can take a while. You give thanks in your heart for these gifts. At the end of the day, you think of all the ways you might have hurt or somehow troubled people during the day. You ask forgiveness in your heart and give thanks in your heart for their presence in your life. Notice that Nikon emphasizes our connection to other people. This is the key to healing. We need community. We need one another. It is not just about us as individuals. Did you know that the original meaning of the word individual was inseparable? It is an example of how our culture has changed, that it now means a person separate from the group. When Aunt Lucy rocks, she does not do so alone in her bedroom. She is in the kitchen, a large farmer's kitchen, which is the hub of the house. People come and go, children play and run by, mother cooks, everyone eats together. It is a community place. And Aunt Lucy is allowed to be herself within this place. She is not told to get over it. She is not made fun of. She does not feel guilty for not contributing to the household right now. And that is the key, right now. Everyone in the family and the neighbors, friends, and business visitors all have faith that Lucy will pull out of her grief in time. Even Lucy knows in her heart that her grief will not last forever. There seems to be an awareness that life has its ups and downs, and the valley of the shadow of death that Lucy currently finds herself in will soon change. As she rocks in her chair, she will find peace. As she begins to wander in the garden and pick flowers to beautify the home, she will find purpose. And in the acceptance from everyone around her, Lucy will find love again in her heart. Today, we do not have large farmhouses and extended families that support us as we drop out from everyday activities while we are healing from grief. We are limited in how much downtime we can take. But today we still have a community that cares, that allows us to be who we are when we need to cry, to talk, to be silent, to not be active on a committee for a while. We also have a community where we know that others have faced or are now facing loss of various kinds. To recap, if you are grieving any loss, take the time to make a grieving ritual for yourself, based on your own knowledge of yourself. Let others know of your loss and let them respond with their hearts. Practice gratitude in everyday life, even when you are not in grief. And find a way to reconcile your beliefs with reality. As we begin to heal, we explore the garden of friends who bring beauty into our lives. Our connections help ourselves to blossom into the new person we must become to face our new life, a life of hope and love and laughter, a life that is aware that we need one another and are grateful. Please rise.